You're listening to KDNK. I'm Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk here at Geek Speak in studio with Louie, the computer guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Going great. Underwriting for this show is provided by Louie, the computer guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected. 948-7992.
Good job, Matt.
Yeah.
Wow. Mind like a steel trap.
That's what people pay me for.
Oh, to be young again.
Password managers help.
Yeah. And we got Matt McBrayer in the studio here from Roaring Fork Help Desk.
Yeah.
As always,
call in with your computer questions or anything else.
Yep.
963-2976. Yeah. Hopefully we'll be getting a few calls here shortly.
Yeah, I haven't fixed anything today yet, so somebody could...
Yeah, I've only been installed stuff, so...
Somebody could help me restore my self-esteem. Actually, I take that back. I did fix something. I diagnosed a bad hard drive, so... Which, thank God, it wasn't so bad that anything got lost, but they do go bad.
Yep.
They do go bad.
Yeah, there's about a... So... within the first 90 days, there's about a 1% failure rate, and then it goes down to about 0.5% per year mm-hmm. for the first 3 years, and it steadily marches up to 10% and stays at 10% until they're all dead.
Yep.
So...
Exactly. So, you know, something that a lot of people might not know is that... These new solid-state drives, they are far more reliable than the mechanical drives. But if they should happen, if they go, they go.
Yeah, it's pass-fail. It's
yeah, exactly.
It's either I'm working fine or I'm dead. There's not a lot in between the two.
On a mechanical drive, I mean, a lot of times, you know, Matt or I could take it into our shop and hook up a special gizmo to it and extract, you know,
the important things, at
maybe
least.
Maybe even, yeah, cherry pick the important stuff. But if a solid state drive goes down most of the time, it's like this thing is DED dead. And you can't even send it off to some extremely overpriced data recovery house to get your stuff off of it. It's just dead, you know. So what we're saying is you should still back up. Backing
yes.
up is actually, in a lot of ways, more important than ever. And,
yep.
So
yeah, having a strong password on your email and backing up your computer.
Yep.
As
exactly.
always.
I've been really having a lot of fun with the passwords with Entropy. I've been going to the website we've talked about is correcthorsebatterystaple.com, right? Or is it .org?
They do have a generator for that. Let me look it up. I think if you XKCD password, it'll be one of the first things to come up here.
XKCD.
Yeah, so the whole impetus for this was a XKCD comic called entitled Password Strength, and it goes through and says, well, we've been using this kind of passwords for the last 20 years because NIST said to use them,
mm-hmm.
and really correct horse battery staple, although not a good password now, is mm-hmm. a superior password to Troubadour spelled with a 070 and an E instead of a 3 and all those kinds of
mm-hmm.
Standard iterations.
How'd you know that was my password? No, I'm just kidding.
Don't use... If you type your password in and you find it on the internet, don't use it.
Ah.
Or
okay.
You could go look through the... Download the list of the top 10 million passwords and see if your password's in that
top
list.
Top 10 million.
there's a text file you can download with the top 10 million passwords in it.
Yeah.
But usually people are, you know, it's the top 500 mm-hmm. you really need to worry about.
Yeah, so there's a website called howsecureismypassword.net, and correct horse battery staple does not pass the test.
No, because it's going to be in the known list.
Yeah. It, well, let's see. No, actually it's telling me, wow, it was going to take 277 trillion years to crack that password. So I think I'll go back to using that. So I'm just kidding.
So, there's a password generator at, xkpasswd.net. that you can use, and it has some very simple settings. You can tell it how many words. If you wanted to have like dashes between the words, you can choose separators.
You can have capitals or not.
Yeah, so you can go through each word. So you can configure a simple password to be able to say it easily, and and it'll generate three at a time or more. So you'd have it generate maybe 20 or 25 and just kind of pick one at random.
Yeah.
To add a little bit more entropy.
Exactly.
Hopefully. So
yeah.
I'll stick with my dice for generating passwords.
You know, to me, just to have lions, tigers, bears, oh my, for a password makes it all worth it, you know. And that's a great password with entropy. So, and I won't even tell if there's any delimiters or not. That's how I'm going to keep it secure. So it's like, it's, I suppose you could do lions, ampersand, lions, ampersand, tigers, ampersand, bears, oh my. And that would be completely grammatically correct. Lions and tigers and bears.
Yes. Oh, if your brain has to have the grammatical correctness, if you are a grammar person.
Yep. Yeah.
Which I am not, so I'm not bound by that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You can come up with four words that, you know, I tell people just look around the room and, you know, like just lock onto four different objects and basically put together four different words and then capitalize each one of the words. Use that for your password, and it will take somebody 299 trillion years, or it'll take artificial intelligence 299 trillion years to crack that password. So, yeah. Anyway, so speaking of security, I guess I hear that everybody that's on Google Chrome needs to update.
I'm going to do that right now.
Are you?
Yeah.
Cool. So
I updated some of my machines this morning.
Yeah, the original story that I got was basically said that the exploit only exists in the Windows world. But the most recent article that I just came across does not.
Well, it sounds like it's kind of a built-in function of the browser, so it seems like it would be pretty easy to be cross-platform.
Yeah.
However, it may not be based on permissions and things like that, but it seems like it could be reasonably simple to be cross-platform kind of problem. So just update if you're... just update, period.
So just to quote, you know, just so people know that how serious we are, Google Chrome's security lead and engineering director, Justin Hsu, has warned that users of the most popular web browser should update, like, right this minute. So, and why the urgency? Simply put, there's what's called a zero-day vulnerability. You know what? Until I read this article, I had a bad definition of what a zero-day vulnerability is. And it basically means that the vulnerability is being used right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, that had I not updated my Google Chrome browser, Russians could be exploiting that vulnerability in the background on my computer right now as I speak.
Yeah.
So.
They could be conservatizing your political leanings on Facebook.
Oh, there you go. Loading my cookies up with a bunch of, you know.
Yeah, loading your cookies so you get a bunch of conservative advertisements. Bunch of
McCarthyist views. So.
Oh, that's funny.
Yep. So anyway, so that is you clients out there, you listeners who are Google Chrome users. It's very simple. If you just go to google.com/Chrome, you'll be presented with the big blue button that says download Chrome.
Yep.
And click on it. And the only thing you're going to have to do is as soon as you get into the installation process, you'll need to quit Google Chrome so that the installation process can complete. And you will not lose anything when you do that. The only thing you might lose is any open tabs that you had will not automatically open when the new version opens. But you can fix that by clicking on the little three dots in the right-hand corner and going to history and going over and basically clicking on the number of tabs that you recently closed. Looks like we got a phone call coming in.
All right. You're on with the Geeks.
Hi, Geeks. It's Donna. How are you?
Good. How about you?
We're great.
Pretty good. What's going on, guys? I wasn't able to listen to the beginning of the show, so what are you guys talking about?
Well, we're talking about there's a big security hole in older versions of Chrome. That is their Chrome is recommending that you basically download the latest version, right now is what the guy says.
Oh wow, is that true on apps as well, like on iPad and tablets?
Go for it, but
you know what?
They didn't
I did
that,
see that. They didn't say that.
They didn't say it specifically, but updating your web browser is not a bad idea, regardless of your platform.
You know. Because of what the work I'm doing now, I'm doing a lot of cybersecurity stuff, and I did see that it's called an IAVM, you know, that information assurance vulnerability notification came out.
Uh-huh.
So, but I didn't look at it. It comes out from the defense industry, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it tells you, you know, these are public, you know, information that comes out, and they tell you all the different versions that are associated with it. So I'll have to go tomorrow when I get to work and look, actually. But meantime, I'll do that on my iPad. That's very scary. The other thing is that, you know, I know somebody who totally, you know, just switched to it, like a new iPhone and blah, 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 and they got one of those phishing emails that said your account was compromised, and they fell for it and put in their Social Security number and all this stuff. And, when the website asked for their credit card number, they kind of clicked out of it, but I assume that their birth date and everything still got input into their system, you know. So
yeah.
I'm sure that's going to go on the list for a sale.
Yeah. Well, you know, my daughter got phished just not too long ago, and this was like, I mean, I received a snail mail letter. It was basically a return check notification. And, I mean, these guys had done their homework. It was basically, somebody that she used to write checks to regularly before she moved to China. And it basically was saying, you know, that, we're holding on to this, bad bounce check that's been returned by your bank 3 times. And,
wow.
We need you to go to this web portal to fix it. And what do you know? The web portal starts asking all kinds of, you know, bank account information. And so, yeah, I mean, it's like, it's so funny how even the old school, you know, those are the things that we're the most vulnerable to, is the blended threats of old and new technology.
Right.
You know,
right.
And totally, you know, I felt bad because I'm the one who received the letter at my house. And, you know, basically shot a picture of it to her and sent it to her on WeChat and said, you need to take care of this, you know.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, you know, fortunately, I mean, she realized that she'd made a mistake pretty early on and let her bank know. So, you know, they were able to lock everything down before anything, you know, there was any expense involved. But it's just,
right.
You know, it's just good to know that, I mean, it doesn't. Things don't have to be constantly getting more technological, you know. It's like,
well, you know, speaking of that, so do you recommend that people? This is what I was saying, is that I recommend that people change their user ID to something other than their email and make it something that's not their name. Even their user ID, they could change, and then of course make their password really complicated, but. To me, really important is to set up two-factor authentication so you get a token or a text message.
Yeah, you know,
in order to log in.
Some sites, I guess I'm seeing an increasing number of sites that are allowing you to have a non-email username, which is good. I think eventually that's going to be the way it is all the way around.
That's right. Just talk to one of us. We'll buy you a domain, and then you can have a separate email for each one of your logins, just a random string of text, because we'll just do your real account as a catch-all, and then you can see who's been selling you out.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Right.
Oh, dear.
But two-factor is awesome. I use a tool called Authy to do, basically, it's a cloud-hosted Google Authenticator tool. So you can, I have about a dozen websites that I use to do two-factor authentication through Google Authenticator. And so I can go in there with my fingerprint and say, well, the current code for, you know, one of my accounts is, you know, 963-871.
Ah, okay.
I see. Yeah. Right. And what is that called? Is that it? What's it called?
So, Authy? Yeah, it's called Authy. A-U-T-H-E. Or excuse me, T-H-Y.
Okay.
You set it up on your phone, and then you bring your anything that supports Google Auth can use that. The only thing you need to do is it has a backup password up to 32 characters that you need to create a good backup password. So if you lose your phone, you can fire up the application on the new phone and type in that password and get all of your authenticator tokens back.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm feeling so left behind. I think I'm gonna have to get that now. So
just a little. Well, because the other option is to, when you go to the website and you snap the little QR code for the authenticator code, I would print those out and keep those in a folder in my safe deposit box. So if I lost that Google Authenticator, I could go through my file and bring it back into the phone. But with Authy and a large password, it's been highly effective and very user-friendly.
Well, the thing that people don't understand, I think, too, is that when somebody gets your birth date and your Social Security number, oftentimes it's not that they're going to go try and grab, you know, open up a credit card that day. They're interested in selling your information. So if you go freeze your credit, you're probably going to have to keep it frozen just so nobody can open an account in your name for a long time, you know. I mean, your Social Security number, your birthday is never going to change. So
that's true.
Maybe they need to make an app where
you can change that stuff. So,
well, I ultimately think that there's going to have to be some different type of identification or something that people use because of all the identity theft that's out there already. You know, with Social Security numbers being out there, I mean, you can just keep trying to combat it, or I don't know, they're going to have to start using more, you know, different ways like fingerprints or whatever to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's a really good point because, I mean, once your Social Security number gets compromised, it kind of becomes, it's pretty much a lifelong albatross, you know, for you. There really isn't any. I suppose you can apply for a new Social Security number, can't you? Isn't that a thing?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I know you can. I don't know. I know you can get it like another EIN, but I only know of ones that are associated with like LLCs and things.
Uh huh.
But anyway, it's just very scary stuff. So for people who don't need to apply for credit, for the most part, they can probably keep their credit frozen. But you know how it is. Every 6 months, you get your auto insurance renews, and every year, your Macy's card renews, or, you know, your Home Depot card. And they go out and they do these little soft checks, you know, credit checks. And I don't know if your credit is frozen, what happens with those kinds. I would think those would still go through, but maybe hard credit checks maybe would say it's frozen. I'm really curious about that.
Well, if you're frozen and somebody tries to do a soft check, it'll come back null, I guess.
Oh, it will.
Yeah. Yeah.
Soft check even as well as a hard check.
Yeah, wow, exactly. Okay. So,
but then at least you'd get notified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, they'll basically come back if it's somebody that you legitimately have authorized to do a check on you, they'll come back and say, you know, get your authorization to do a hard check or have you unfreeze it. But
Which can cost money.
And I actually just looked it up. You actually can get a new Social Security number.
Yeah, I was just reading the FTC website about that.
Yeah, if you're being harassed, abused, or in grave danger when using your original number, or if you can prove that someone has stolen your number and is using it. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there is hope. No. Yeah. So.
The other thing, by the way, I thought I'd mention, I got an email from, you know, one of my services for keeping track of my credit. And it said, we've noticed that your name has come up and your name, your email address, and passwords that you have used in the past have been showing up on particular websites or whatever.
On the dark web.
That are known. Yes, the dark web, right?
Yep.
And it said, this email address with this password, and it said the beginning of the password and the end of the password. And it was a password that I haven't used in, you know, 15 years or so.
Yeah.
So I wasn't overly worried about it. But let me tell you, I still have my list of all my original passwords.
Yeah.
You know, how I keep them in code. And I went through to, and there might have been maybe 8 or 9 websites. And I went through and went to every single one of those and changed the passwords to, of course, you know, something much more secure.
Yeah, because, you know, there's been kind of like a, I guess you would call it an extortion email threat going around. It was pretty big a few months ago, and it would basically show up and it would have like an old password that you'd use that they had gotten from one of these dark websites in the subject line of the email. And then it would go on to say that we have a, you know, we have a piece of malware in your computer. We've observed you enjoying your favorite adult websites on your webcam, and we have video footage, and we're going to send it to all of the people in your address book because we have your address book. And and they basically, you know, they want you to send $1,000 worth of Bitcoin, you know, to some Bitcoin account. And so, yeah, it's pretty. And I received one of those, and it basically, it was a, like, it was my Facebook password from 8 years ago. And I'm like, you know, right off the bat, I knew that it was bad because, first of all, it had no capitalization and no punctuation in it. And I'm like, oh, that looks like the kind of passwords you used to use 10 years ago.
Yeah, right.
And so it's pretty obvious to me. It's like, I haven't had a password that was that plain Jane, you know, in 10 years, or, you know, probably 7. And so
longer than that.
They didn't get me. So that's all I'm saying.
Well, good. Well, listen, I'll let the phones up, but I'll listen to the rest of the show. And when are you guys on again, in 2 weeks? Or
it'll be the first Monday of April.
Okay, very good. Just ping me again and
sure
I'll call in again.
Thanks for calling, Donna.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Take care.
Okay, talk to you later.
Bye-bye. Bye.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 963-2976.
That was our foreign correspondent, Donna Dalton, calling from, well, let's just say the Florida Everglades. Probably not
some
the Everglades, but, you know.
Some unknown location in
some
Florida.
Some sunny beach location. Drinking having a drink with a little umbrella in it. Oh, got another call.
You're on with the geeks.
Hey, geek. Mike calling from Aspen.
Hey.
Oh, we lost you. Try back again. We'll do it one more time here. We've got a few minutes. So, here we are.
There we go.
You're on with the geeks.
Yeah, so the tech guy fails. I'm back.
That button on the phone, it makes the phone call go away.
That big red one makes it go away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Best to not hit that twice.
Yeah.
Interesting conversation so far. I was I've been working with some Wi-Fi mesh stuff and wondered if what kind of experiences you guys have had with all that. And,
I've got a lot of I've done a number of UniFi mesh installations, and really have nothing but good things to say about it. And I actually just got a new radio in. It's a TP-Link. TP-Link's getting into mesh these days.
Yeah.
And it was a $49 radio, and I was expecting it just to be a standard plain Jane, you know, web GUI setup, you know. And it says, no, you got to download and install the management app, you know, and all this. And next thing you know, it's like I'm starting to go, whoa, this is deja vu. It's like starting to look like Ubiquiti here. So, anyway, it's everybody's jumping on the bandwagon with it. So,
yeah, seems to be working well, especially some of these larger properties up here, up the valley.
Yeah. What brand are you working with?
Oh, just kind of getting into it. So that's why I was looking for feedback. Had a customer that had requested Google Wi-Fi, and because they wanted to be able to use that app and integrate with all their Google Life, and the implementation was pretty straightforward. Of course, ran into some issues with AV, you know, bumping up against Sonos and other such things.
So,
because,
Yep. Well, I'll look into that a little bit more. I really haven't worked with it at all.
Yeah, I've deployed one of those. It seemed to work pretty mm-hmm. well. I'm still an old fashioned, if you can wire it in kind of guy.
Oh yeah.
That
was one of the big things I learned was, if you can wire it for backhaul, that will increase the bandwidth. Well, basically double it because those devices are doing upstream and downstream, you know, communicating with the devices and back to the base. But if you've got Ethernet available,
yeah,
then that can share the connection
Because I've heard that technically every hop of wireless backhaul you lose 50% speed. I think it's the formula. So yeah, it's to be avoided if at all possible. But boy, sometimes you just don't have any choice.
Yep.
So, and thank God up in Aspen, I mean they got 150 meg Comcast. So
yeah,
that's going to cut the connection down to 75. You know?
Oh no.
So, yeah, I live in Canyon Creek. I get 12 on a good day. So,
exactly.
Yeah. So I'm pretty darn happy.
Big pipe up here.
Yeah, definitely. Nice. And it'll only get bigger. I mean, they'll be at gigabit Wi-Fi before you know it. So, or gigabit cable internet.
So, they're not too far away.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, hey, give us a shout next week and let us know how that's going, okay?
Yeah, first Monday. I'll send you some information.
Week after next. So.
Or whenever, Awesome. Alrighty. Thanks so much, guys. Uh-huh.
Have a good one.
Bye.
All right.
Take care.
Yeah. Bye.
You've been listening to Geek Speak on KD&K. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, thanks for running the board, Matt.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We'll be here the first Monday of April.
All right.
So check back then.
I'll be here.
Enjoy your week.